Blog Talk Radio.
Mommy.
Welcome back to Tom on the Radio with your host, Tom O'Neill.
Hey, Quark's in session. It's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your Blog Talk Radio is? If it is in the right place, you're listening to it. I'm Tom O'Neill, and welcome to another spine-tingling, back-scratching, filibustering edition of Tom on the Radio. And you know we couldn't do this show, and why would we, without the man with the plan. His name is not Stan. Steve Baxley. How the heck are you, big guy?
Hey, Tom. I'm doing good.
Oh, Lord, Al. You sound good. But before we go further, there's one thing I wanted to do Friday, but we couldn't do, and I would like to start the show off with this. I would like to give my deepest sympathies and thoughts and prayers to the family of Detroit media icon Drew Sharp, who passed away last week. And in my time in Detroit and on the media circuit that I did, I always saw Drew, and he was kind of a hard man to get to know, but once you knew him, he was gold, and he considered me a good fella, and I will miss his humor, his wit, his thoughtfulness, and he's into that big press box in the sky.
Yes, indeed, and I will just say this. Love him, like him, or hate him, he did good work.
Amen. And lightening it up just a little bit, speaking of media icons, in your neck of the woods, and you can speak better on this than I can, Jane Acker announced that she is leaving television news after a three-decade career in Lansing, Michigan. And I am sure you have some thoughts about her, and
yep.
Go to
yes,
it.
Jane Aldrich.
I'm sorry. Thank
hey,
you.
That's okay. That's okay. I called her Benny Finachwa for a long time. No. I will tell you this about Jane Aldrich. She is as personable on the news for WLNS TV6. As she is personable in person, she has that lilt, that friendliness that you just want to adopt her as a sister. And I will tell you this.
Well,
Carmen,
I guess that's one of the reasons why Jane Aldrich has survived as long as she did in Lansing.
Oh, yeah. She left Lansing for a little bit for a stint in Toledo for Channel 24, WNWO, and ever since, and when she was there, the ratings were good. Then when she left to return to Lansing and TV6, right in the toilet.
Mm.
No, I'm just to be honest with you folks. Jane Aldrich can make any television station's news department feel more respected, more loved, because she cared about the communities that she covered. She was in Toledo. She covered Toledo like it was a blanket. She was good there. She returned, as I said, to Lansing, and for a total of 31 years has reigned as the queen of the queen of Mid Michigan television. And
you were mentioning about Carmen Harlan.
Yes, Carmen Harlan may be the queen of Detroit, but there's a queen in Lansing, and to lose these two icons has left a big hole in both areas. Now, granted, the young lady that is going to take her place in Detroit, she is not going to replace the legend of Carmen Harlan. She is going to create her own legacy and her own stride and path. And the woman who is selected to take over for Jane Aldrich on Channel 6 will do the same thing. You're not going to replace the legend. You can't replace the legacy. You just follow in your own pathway and make your own footprints.
The replacement in Detroit, her name is Kimberly Bell, and although I'm not in Detroit, I can only assume what happened was they brought Kimberly Bell in as Carmen Harlan's heir apparent without saying she's an heir apparent. She did nightside reporting and substituted for Carmen when she was off, but it was not like they threw Kimberly Bell on Detroit. All of a sudden, they eased her in. So it made it much easier for her to step into Carmen's anchor slot when Carmen decided to leave.
Mm-hmm. And I will tell you, just like they did with Kimberly, the woman that's going to take over for Jane on TV6, they will ease this person in, and they will make sure that the audience watching gets acquainted, gets accustomed, gets adjusted,
mm-hmm.
and much like a coronation, much like the passing of the baton, or in this case, the passing of the microphone, the passing of the lavalier microphone, there will be circumstance. And all around, the news will continue. The professionalism and the landmarks left by these two ladies who leave a legacy in their various locations, Carmen Harlan in Detroit, Jane Aldrich in Lansing, that legacy will continue with a new view, a new point, a new person that the viewers will like and will have already gotten used to. Like I said.
And in Carmen Harlan's case, she will do frequent appearances on Local 4. She will not ride off into the sunset completely.
Yeah, what is it that Walter Cronkite said on his last night? And I paraphrase with kindness and respect to Uncle Walter, Mr. Walter Cronkite. But old anchor people, you see, they never die. They just keep coming back for more. Carmen Harlan, Jane Aldrich, they may be leaving the anchor desk, but they will never leave their respective areas and their respective television stations. They will do other things. There's still a fire in there, and that fire, we might as well face it, Tom. That fire that brought them to their respective stations never dies out. It just keeps growing.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It's not like what happened at Channel 7 when Diana Lewis she left, but it was a clean break. And she didn't do that much for Channel 7 after she left there. But at least, and I do emphasize, I don't know about Jane Aldrich, but Carmen Holland, it was her complete choice. The station wanted her to stay for a few more years.
That's right. And listening to not only Carmen's explanation, but Jane's, I will say this, both of them, they were not forced out by management. Ownership changed. Jane also decided to take, as I like to call it, the Carmen Harlan stance. She was not forced out. She did this on her own after some soul searching, after looking at her career as it is, as it was, as it will be, and after consulting with her family, her friends, and her colleagues, she knew that it was time. It was time to move on to other things, to other areas of their respective stations' news departments.
Boy, you should write a foreword on Carmen Holland's autobiography. That sounded great.
Thank you.
And if
elected president... Oh, sorry.
And another thing I wanted to bring up, and I didn't bring it up Friday. Do you know if there's such a thing as focus groups for TV news people? Yeah, is it still in effect?
In some cases, in some of your big stations and maybe in your medium-sized markets, I would say, yeah, it's still there.
The reason why I bring it up, Steve, is because there's this news anchor in Philadelphia. Her name is Brooke Thomas. She became the main morning news anchor at the CBS ONL-KYW in March. And last week, 9 days before the biggest rating book of the year, and only 7 months into working there, after her last newscast last Tuesday, she got fired. And something that sudden, and then to have her replacement on the next day, who was the weekend morning news anchor and substitute anchor, who happens to be a West Philly native, I tend to think that Brooke Thomas did not test well for her to be bounced out after only 7 months. Because even a multi-conglomerate like CBS do not like paying off contracts early.
Yeah, something does not mesh well.
Yeah, and I liked her Facebook page, and she hasn't posted anything since last Tuesday. Brooke Thomas, that is. I mean, when you consider the station that did it, it's not really surprising, but it's still kind of shocking.
You don't even get a chance to say goodbye to the viewers. They just look at you and say, this woman's not friendly. Let's just go. Let her go. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll just write it off as a business expense.
This is why I think it is time for all television stations to go to their management. No, not to their management. You go straight to the top of the totem pole, your owners. And you tell them, look, our viewers are our group. Our viewers are our consultants. We don't need these big buck consultants telling us who's good, who's bad, who's ugly, who's sad, who's not doing the news right, blah, blah, blah. That's what our viewers do night after night. We don't need consultants. We have our consultants, the viewers. And to focus groups?
That's a good point.
Sorry, give them their $1.95 an hour and tell them they're gone. The viewers will make their decisions.
That's the only thing I could think of about what happened to Brooke Thomas. I mean, that concerns me. It was not necessarily that she got fired, but that she was only there for 7 months, and she got fired 9 days before the November book, which is a huge period of ratings for every TV station in this land.
Agreed. Agreed. I mean, they should have kept her on for a full year.
Exactly. And I have to think that they had to pay off the remaining year of her contract. I bet you she signed a 3-year deal, but I bet you CBS was on the hook for the first year.
Uh-huh. I tell you, for people who want to go into the business of news, television news, to paraphrase the bard of Elmer Fudd, be very, very quick in the brain, because you never know, there might be people stabbing you in the back.
And it's not just in big markets, it's especially in medium-sized and even smaller markets.
Oh, boy.
I mean, wow.
I mean,
the days of TV news personalities being at a station more than 20 years is almost over.
This is true, and we got two good examples of professional news anchors who, on their own accord, their own decision, decided it was time to move on to something bigger and better.
Time for yourself.
Yeah.
I call that bigger and better.
That's correct.
Now there's going to be a part of them that will always have that newsroom Jones in them, but I'm sure they'll come up with something to beat it, but...
Go ahead.
No. Age before beauty.
I was going to say, you know the old saying, you could take the country boy out of the country. What is that saying about taking someone from the city? You take the man from the country, but you can't take the country out of the man.
I heard that before.
In Carmen Harlan and in Jane Aldrich's cases, you could take them out of the newsroom. You could take them from the station, but you can't take the station and the memories away from them. They will always be a part of that station. They will still have a memory. They will still have an existence at that station. Even when it is time for them to ascend to that big television station in the sky, they will still be there in the heart
mm-hmm.
and in the mind of all those men and women that work tirelessly at those stations.
Carmen's last day is on Friday, November the 11th. That would be a very interesting must-see TV moment to when Carmen officially passes the torch to Kimberly Bell, and she starts that Monday after Carmen's last day.
That's right. And speaking of people whose days are to come, happy birthday to Bernie Smilovitz, age 212. That's right.
Yay.
He's older than some of the shtick he does. Ladies and gentlemen, happy birthday, Bernie. You don't look a day over, 800.
Is Jamie Edmonds still at Channel 4?
Yes, and the reason why she hasn't been on is because, come on, boys, that's your cue. She went to the chapel and she... God herself there.
but it'll be very interesting because I asked that because, as with Carmen, there's usually an heir apparent on the staff in case a certain longtime anchor hangs it up. That seamless transition thing, you know.
That's right. On the day Bernie retires, I think the Graham Media Group are going to install a robotic version of him.
And don't tell me we have highlights.
It'll be known as the BS 2005. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. And just the thing, I know she doesn't look it. Carolyn Clifford will have served Channel 7 there for 18 years.
She does not look she doesn't, I mean, she looks damn good. The two people, the two ladies who, I gotta say this, and if it's wrong for me to say, then I do apologize. But, I mean, they do look fine. Carolyn Clifford and, I'm going to say it, Clifford and Heather Catallo.
Yes. Both are on Channel 7. Both have been there a long time. And Heather Catallo has been through the ringer at Channel 7 and has survived.
She's got the gravitas, I will tell you. Oh, boy.
Yeah,
I would surrender to
like you. Just like, I bet you would. Just like
my
boy, Davey Lou.
Yeah, if she was investigating me, I would surrender willingly.
You'd be saying, yes, I do have the right to remain silent, and I will in your presence.
I did it. Mm-hmm. I admit it. I'll pay them back.
I just did it. And I respect you in the morning. So we had a little media talk. It's kind of personal because, you know, you still live in the great state of Michigan. I can only imagine living in Michigan. But it's just nice to see people do things that they want to do, and they do it on their terms. So I'm very pleased at that. Now let's get to sports. And our usual gravitas of the every Monday during football season, we either do it with a question mark or an exclamation point. And today I will say Lions!
Lions, yes! Oh, my
goodness. They are 4-3, and Jim Bob Cooter should be running for president.
President Hill, he should be getting the toughest job of all. He should be Pope.
Never heard of a Pope named Jim Bob.
Well, wait a minute, Mr. the Baxman. No, you
No.
I'm sorry, Your Holiness. I did not mean to offend. Just because I have a tie between Seattle does not mean you defame my name. But I agree with you. I wouldn't mind having Joe Bob Cooter as, say, a Monsignor of football.
Man, what a... I tell you, whoever brought Jim Bob... I just love saying that name, and I will use any instance to say that name. Whoever brought in Jim Bob Cooter should get the Congressional Medal of Freedom because he not only saved a quarterback, but a head coach, the style of the owner, and the fan base of that team. They're now 4-3. They looked pretty good yesterday. Yesterday was the first Lions game in 8 years. I got to see from beginning to end because, thankfully, the Washington Redskins played the Lions, and it just brought back a lot of good memories of the time I used to go to Lions games. So it was a great experience, and great to see nothing has changed at Ford Field except for the lovely ladies on the sidelines.
It's true, and I gotta say I've never been more prouder of the Detroit Lions than I was on Sunday. They beat their most hated rival, the Washington Redskins. It was a tough game, but they passed every test in that game.
Especially Matt Stafford.
Yes, and I gotta agree with what the critics are saying now. Matthew Stafford is starting to look like one of the elite quarterbacks.
Thanks to, in part to Jim Bob Cooter.
That's right. And Jim Bob Cooter did one thing.
He said that name.
Jim Bob Cooter did one thing, and one thing that no other quarterback coach would ever think of doing. He went up to Matthew Stafford and said, "You do it your way.
Now let's do it my way."
And
that might get
I'll help
Matthew Stafford.
I can.
Now, granted, this is early, but this might get Matthew Stafford some MVP votes, let alone Pro Bowl votes.
I will agree. I will agree with you.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be the year Matt Stafford comes to his on his own. And,
mm-hmm.
what can I say? He keeps going like he
and
is.
And it might.
The Lions.
And it,
they, yes.
And it might get the Lions that our favorite two-word term. Playoff?
Playoff? Oh, that would be, and more than just one playoff game.
Yes. Oh, get that playoff game at home, even if it is a wild card game. And with the Vikings losing Sunday, that means the Lions are within striking distance of the division lead.
Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't be surprised if they got that division lead before their bye week.
Yeah, that would shock the, not saying that would shock the world, but it would shock Lion Nation.
Oh yes,
because on this very show a few weeks ago, we were talking about Jim Caldwell. Job status is not great, but now Jim Caldwell might be getting the last laugh on everybody.
Jim Caldwell, mate, I hate to use this, and I do so with this caveat. The only example we can have, or we got, Jim Caldwell might just be the Brad Ausmus of the Detroit Lions.
Oh, they're in the same block.
That's right, and they were both in the same boat.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, they got them playing some good football.
That's right, and I wouldn't put it past the folks at the National Football League, if they're looking for Coach of the Year, that Jim Caldwell's name wouldn't be mentioned, or would be mentioned as
mm-hmm.
a nominee, because he has brought he and his staff have brought that Lions team back. I mean, there are some hiccups
yes.
down the line, but still, they are back.
I didn't hear that many boos at Ford Field yesterday, which means that fans are starting to buy into this team.
They are. And on the other side of the coin, look at the Red Wings.
Oh, no, don't. Oh, I was going to say, I was going to say the Cleveland Browns. Right quick
the
before
Cleveland
we
Browns,
talk about the Red Wings.
The Cleveland Browns, by the way, on the other side of the other coin, keep losing, boys. Keep losing. Please.
What would the legacy be if the Browns tied the Lions for worst record ever in the NFL at 0-16?
Well, let's put it this way. The Lions would then be the second team, the second worst team in the NFL. They would look up at the Cleveland Browns and say two words, thanks, guys.
I really feel for the football fans in Cleveland, Ohio, because albeit their baseball team is about to enter into the World Series and their basketball team tomorrow night get their rings and get their championship banner raised to the rafters of the queue, Cleveland is a football town just like Detroit, just like Buffalo. And people live and die with their football team, and there are a lot of deaths in Northeast Ohio right now.
Yes, in fact, I have a feeling there are some people in the dog pound that, again, would like to be spayed or neutered, than to go back.
Or both.
Or both, than to go back into the dog pound with a losing team.
Speaking of losing teams, you want to mention the Red Wings.
Oh, man. 0-3 at the first juncture. Then they go back for their home opener, the final one, the Joe. And since then, oh, my Lord, they have been on fire.
Fire?
I mean, they have been on a tear.
They're on a winning streak?
Yes. They have literally been, they have had victory, 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 victory.
Wow.
I mean, my mind.
Well, it's just so sad to think this is the last season the Red Wings will play at Joe Louis Arena, and next year they will have their nice palatial red barn on Woodward named the Little Caesars Arena. I'm still trying to get myself used to saying that, but it's supposed to be the Taj Mahal of sports arenas.
I mean, I tell you, they won Saturday night against San Jose 3-0. They're 4-2, third in the Atlantic Division of the NHL. Wow.
Yummy. Yummy. What a way to go out of your old building.
I mean, really, we would at least like the Joe to have one final bow in the Stanley Cup playoffs, all the way down to the finals. It would be the ultimate conclusion. That's why I put down in one of my artworks, one more for Joe.
I completely agree with you, and may that happen, and I'll have to keep an eye on the scoreboard and the standings. I kind of turned it off when I saw, like, the beginning of the year. Like, I say, oh, here we go again. But like you said, they're on a serious roll, and that's a good thing to hear. Let's see. What else do we have on the slate here? Obviously, we cannot do this show without a little mentioning of the Square Circle. And from the looks of it, we may be little mentioning the Square Circle. Anything new with TNA?
Yes, and it just goes from bad to worse. And the latest is that TNA is being sued again. They are being too, but I mean, I totaled this up. Let me get to. There is another stinking lawsuit against TNA for unpaid bills, and this is going to hurt even more when I tell you the total of the lawsuits. I mean, this is just freaking crazy. In the okay, let's see. Ah, there we go. The next company, of course, American Express Travel is suing them. Travel Service is suing them. The latest is, come on, boys. The latest person to join the lawsuit train is, oh, boy. Oh, be on the edge of your seat for this one, kids. This one does not need explanation, but it will. It is a it's a bank. Another lawsuit, that's right. It can be revealed that Bank Direct, back on November 30th, 2015, Bank Direct entered into an agreement with TNA Entertainment to pay TNA $400,146 so that TNA could pay certain insurance premiums. They agreed to make 10 monthly payments of $41,032.45, with the first payment coming in November 13, 2015. As of September 29th, TNA had paid almost half of the suit, but was still $207,612.29 behind.
Oh, my goodness.
And Bank Direct Capital Finance filed a lawsuit September 29th in Cook County, Illinois, asking for $207,612.29 plus legal fees, interest, and late charges. This gives us a total. Timpani, boys. Timpani. Along with the other lawsuits, TNA is in the hole for $4.25 million. And we're not just talking the lawsuit by Errol Lux, lawsuit by the Fight Network, Billy Corgan's lawsuit, American Express Travel Services lawsuit, but this recent one that's filed. Oh, my lack of sanity. We are talking, oh, man, we are just talking TNA. I mean, right now, Vince McMahon's in his offices in Stamford, Connecticut going, 1, 2, 3, 4. How much money do you think we can buy TNA now that they're literally just dying on the vine?
Does the saying pennies on the dollar mean anything?
I mean, this is just wow. Let's see. Add into this, as I said, the mix in with the monies owed to Audience of One Productions, the state of Tennessee. That's where the $2 million comes from. The state of Tennessee's got a huge lien. American Express, Billy Corgan. Wow. And
that's wow for you, Steve. Because I don't think you could add up all that in the whole money that TNA has. I mean, I'm in shock.
I was stunned when I totaled this all up. And we are just 24 hours, October 26th. Tomorrow's October 25th. But October 26th is the date that both parties are going to be coming at each other. And from what I've been reading, wow. It is just...
From what I am hearing, TNA does not have a leg to stand on.
No, it looks like Billy Corgan and the folks at the Fight Network... their attorneys I got a feeling Billy Corgan's going to come out of this looking good.
Well, Dixie Carter is going to look real bad that she hasn't looked bad already.
Oh, boy. This is going to the company right now, as we're looking at 2 days remaining before the big October 26 court date. Dixie and her crew are looking for an investor to save their butt. They're looking for that knight in shining armor. Right now, all they're going to probably get is a knight in shit.
I mean,
with a little.
No company would want to invest in that company.
Oh boy. And I mean, you could tell TNA is desperate. Dixie Carter, her husband, and those behind the scenes are desperate. Because they're doing everything that they can to sort of tear apart Mr. Corgan's lawsuit. But from what I understand, that ain't going to happen.
Mm-mm. Nor should it.
I think
Billy Corgan holds all the cards.
He will not only hold the cards, but I guarantee you this. The Fight Network will side with Billy Corgan, and don't be surprised if he has a little help from Matt Hardy. I'm still saying it. I think Matt Hardy may have something to do with either saving it for Dixie or just giving Dixie the finger and going, hey, Billy, you got it. Fight Network, you got it. I'm working with you guys. So it's not over yet, but the way it looks right now, with more companies going to be filing suit soon, I wouldn't be surprised if Viacom files a suit against them. I think Corrigan's got this.
I think so, too. And while all these legal wranglings are going on, human lives are dangling in the wind, as in wrestlers, staff, management of TNA, not knowing where their next check is coming from, not knowing even when their next taping is.
That's right.
So, well, we'll add another wrestling company to the cemetery of wrestling companies.
That's right. This one wasn't even defeated by Vince McMahon. It was defeated from within.
Yes. And Vince McMahon still can eventually get what he wants, the video library, but at pennies on the dollar. So that's what he's waiting on. He's waiting on everybody else to eat each other's carcass, and then he swoops down in and get the leftovers. As we said Friday, Vince is not waiting around. The number five person, but the number four person at the WWE was bounced last week. And it'd be interesting to see what happens in that. It's like, unless your name is Vincent or Vincent Shane, Stephanie or Hunter, there is no job security in WWE.
Nope.
Yeah. So, right quick before we get that young lady that's coming along sooner than later, big football weekend, not just professionally, but the annual Michigan State-Michigan matchup is this Saturday, and it will be airing nationally on ESPN, so I'll be able to see it.
Yeah, that's right. And I'm going to make a prediction. This is the game that Michigan State must win, or their season, you might as well just say it, aloha oi.
And the Aloha Bowl doesn't even want Michigan State if they lose.